A few years ago, we worked with a company based in the UK that has technology to help communicators uncover weaponized information from bad actors out to get their executives or bring their organizations down, to really bad guys hiding in the deepest, darkest corners of the internet who want to do more than brand damage. The software was originally built to help in a crisis and has evolved into a tool I think every in-house communicator should use. It was fascinating work. Also pretty scary. And I'm just naive enough to believe the best in people no matter what. So I was pretty floored to see what happens right in front of our noses. Stuff I'm not sure I'll ever get over. Our job, however, was not to scare communicators, but to educate them on all of the weaponized information out there and how to best handle it when it's presented as fact about your brand. Fast forward then to last week when PRSA released its Tackling Misinformation Guide, which is meant to help communications pros navigate the ever-changing landscape of misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation, or put another way, weaponized information. But what's the difference between the three? And how can you spot them, let alone educate your audiences on each so they don't fall for false information about your brand? That, my friends, is what I'd like to discuss with you on this week's Spin Sucks podcast episode.
If you're a communications pro who works hard, doesn't compromise quality, and gets the job done, welcome home. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories, and together we will change the face of PR. Spin sucks, but we don't. With the Spin Sucks podcast, here's Jenny Dietrich.
Welcome back to the Spin Sucks podcast. I'm Jenny Dietrich. Weaponized information starts with the benign, misinformation, then introduces disinformation, and then moves to malinformation. Let's start with the definitions for each to better understand it all. Misinformation is false information that the person who is sharing it believes to be true. My wonderful uncles share misinformation. They truly believe that the attorney general in New York is out to get Trump, that he's not broken any laws, and they spread that information. Misinformation is false, but it doesn't necessarily intend to harm any person or group. Disinformation, then, is false information, and the person disseminating it knows it's false. It's a deliberate, intentional lie. A good example of disinformation was when Alex Jones was on the air spouting off that Sandy Hook was a lie, or Holocaust deniers, or flat earthers, or climate change deniers. The information is false, and they know it is, but they keep spreading it anyway. And then malinformation is actually true, but it's used to inflict harm on a person, organization, or country. It might be information shared without context. A good example is when a brand uses a doctored image of a celebrity showing their support of the product or service. It can also be a true headline, perhaps a bit sensationalized, to encourage people to click to a damaging website or download harmful content. Dan Ariely's new book, Misbelief, talks a lot about malinformation and how he was the target, personally was the target, during the pandemic when he was vocal about being pro-vaccine. People would make videos of things he had said and then misconstrue it to take it out of context to support their anti-vax stance. If you think about weaponized information Venn diagram, misinformation sits on the left, malinformation on the right, and disinformation is in the middle where it overlaps with the two. So it goes from false information the sharer thinks is true, which is pretty benign, not super harmful, but also not good, to false information that the sharer knows is false, which is outrageous, to true information that the sharer has modified to inflict harm, downright criminal. For several months, I've been taking screenshots of stuff I see online that fits one of these categories. One of my favorite examples of misinformation are the photos of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce doing whatever they're doing on vacation, at Coachella, at wherever they are, on a date, whatever. But in the photo is Bernie Sanders sitting in the corner in his mittens and mask. It's clearly false, hilarious, but false. And the number of times it is shared as if it is real is astonishing. And even when you point people on the internet, point out Bernie Sanders is in this photo, this isn't real. People are like, of course it's real. Like, come on, really? Bernie Sanders is not hanging out with Travis and Taylor everywhere they go, or at all, for that matter. So now that we're clear on the different types of fake news, let's discuss what this means for communicators. A survey of 1,500 global experts also ranks misinformation and disinformation as the most concerning issue for 2024. And with the 2024 elections in the U.S. this year, Americans are concerned that the spread of fake news will get worse. It's shaking democracy at its core. All of this mis, dis, and malinformation has a detrimental effect on trust, democracy, and civil discourse. Certainly, with the popularity of generative AI, the ability and speed to manufacture weaponized information and spread it has accelerated. Moreover, with so much news and information bombarding us via digital technology, many are ignoring dedicated news sources and are reading only curated headlines on social media. Research shows, this is scary, it shows that people are 70% more likely, 70% more likely to share falsehoods than the truth. This demonstrates in part why there's such a vast problem. The issue is not simply isolated to the role of nefarious or ill-informed actors, technology, and now generative AI as an accelerant. History itself offers evidence that weaponized information will always exist. It's a human behavior issue, not a technology problem. If digital technology, social media platforms, and AI were removed from the world tomorrow, misinformation and disinformation would still exist. So what are we to do? For communicators, this goes beyond mere acknowledgement. We need to have proactive strategies to counter misinformation effectively. There are three things the aforementioned PRSA report suggests. Number one, learn from bad actors and out-communicate them. Number two, educate our stakeholders. And number three, return to the basics of PR. The first thing PRSA suggests is learning from bad actors and then out-communicating them. But what does that look like in real life? You must study the bad actors, learn what makes them tick, and pay attention to how they're spreading weaponized information. This will allow you to do three things. Number one, discern what excellence should look like, because it's the opposite of what you're seeing. Number two, gain insights into what not to do. And number three, identify the traits and behaviors that hinder effective communication. In Misbelief, the book I mentioned earlier, Ariely speaks to his experience when bad actors created deepfake videos of him saying and doing things that he never said, or he did say, but were taken out of context. So I believe we should get the vaccine, and they would take get the vaccine and trans that to you don't need to get the vaccine. So they took those three words and took it out of context and made it look like he was anti-vax instead of pro-vaccine. Crazy. It's crazy. Likewise, many of us have had the experience of someone calling to pretend to be someone close to us, claiming to need money to see if they can trick you into sending them all of your life savings. Don't do that. My publisher, may she rest in peace, got caught in a scandal like that. A guy pretended to be her brother-in-law and knew just enough about him to get her to send money. She did it three times before she realized she was being scammed. The bad actors are getting better and better at tricking us into believing what they're saying is true. From AI-generated voices that aren't distinguishable from your loved one's real voices, to videos that make it look like you were somewhere you were not. Now, put that on steroids, and it's hard to understand what to believe or not. As new technologies evolve, it'll be easier and easier for the bad guys to use them for evil. So, if we study the bad actors, we can pretty easily define what they're going to do to disseminate weaponized information, and we can use those tactics to provide factual, ethical, and honest information. This might look like fostering emotional intelligence, prioritizing speed and accessibility, engaging across multiple channels, educating audiences, monitoring and responding, and building and maintaining trust by returning to PR basics. You already do some of this, and some of it you'll need to tweak to ensure you're fiercely protecting your brand and its reputation. In just a minute, I'll be back to discuss how to incorporate all of this into your daily life and what our responsibility is to ensure weaponized information is kept at bay. I'll be right back. There are two things I want you to know about. The first is the Fundamentals of Media Measurement course that we just launched with Muckrack. And the second is the PESO model certification. Both will help you evolve your career this year as you learn how to measure your work using the PESO model to get you there. The Fundamentals of Media Measurement course can teach you how to measure your earned media efforts, create a successful measurement strategy, and report on your success. It will take you about 2 hours, but it has quick, bite-sized lessons you can take when convenient. It has actionable tips, step-by-step approaches, and examples from Jonna Burke, Christopher Penn, and me. Go to mrac.co/spinsucks to learn more, get registered, and start your measurement journey today. That's mrac.co/spinsucks. Please be sure to use that link because I get a gold star every time someone registers, and I love gold stars. And for those of you who need to evolve your career, learn how to integrate the work you do with marketing and amp up your measurement efforts, the PESO model certification is for you. Step up your game with an academically accredited PESO model certification from SpinSucks and the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Learn more about that by going to spinsucks.com/academy, or you can go to spinsucks.com and click on Academy in the navigation. And now, back to the show. Welcome back. We've discussed what weaponized information is. Now I'd like to walk through our responsibilities as communicators. What's the number one thing bad actors do well? Think about some of them you've encountered during your lifetime or career. Heck, think about what Trump does extraordinarily well. They all exploit emotions. Part of the reason Trump has been as successful as he has is because he says things many, many people think, but have been afraid to say out loud. He's built loyalty among those who felt their feelings and opinions have been diminished by a quote-unquote woke and liberal society. Now, in my opinion, he's using those skills for bad. But imagine if you do the same, but use your skills for good. Instead of manipulation, you connect authentically. You tell your brand story so that it resonates on a personal and emotional level, fostering a genuine connection and trust. While the bad actors are out there weaponizing information and creating fear, anger, and sadness, you can aim to evoke positive emotions such as hope, joy, and pride. One of the challenges we have every day is responding to things in real time. Typically, there are approval processes we have to work through, which puts us behind days or weeks. But here's the thing about weaponized information. It spreads quickly, like really fast. This is because it's designed to be easily digestible and shareable, and because it's created and shared in real time. So to counter this, you should work internally to build a process that allows you to respond immediately. Your messages should be accurate, timely, and easy to understand while also being shared in real time. Bad actors often use a multi-platform approach to disseminate their content widely. Most of us do this, but we can get stuck in the post the same thing to all media platforms cycle without tailoring our message to fit the format or audience. Consider how your content will be viewed on each social media platform, as well as on the traditional media outlets, podcasts, and webinars. One of the most powerful tools against weaponized information is an informed public. Your job has not changed. You will still protect your brand's relationships with its audiences. But now you might think about how to invest in educational campaigns that teach your communities how to identify credible sources and check facts independently. This one's a bit more challenging because it will be seen internally as a non-necessity. Still, if you can incorporate education into your existing brand-building campaigns, you can do both, the non-necessity and the necessary, right? At the start of this episode, I mentioned a former client whose software is built to help communicators monitor weaponized information. Social listening can help too, but building something more robust with bad actors in mind can be even more beneficial. No matter how you monitor, pay attention to what false narratives are being created and shared, and then go back to the process we talked about earlier to respond swiftly and in real time. One thing I want to note, though, is people share content because it supports a belief or opinion they have, even if the facts show it's false. That's why it's so important to foster emotional intelligence. You must appeal to their emotional side because often we are not rational beings. So don't lead with facts, lead with emotion. In the long term, the most effective way to out-communicate bad actors is to build a trusting relationship with your audience. This is what we do. This is what we do every day. We've discussed it in nearly every episode this year, creating content that demonstrates experience and expertise to build trust and authority. Keep doing that. Consistently provide valuable and accurate information. Transparently admit and correct mistakes. Engage with the audience to understand their concerns and questions. If you do those things every day, you will always have the trust you need to stay ahead of the bad actors. So to recap, you will foster emotional intelligence. You will prioritize speed and accessibility. You will engage across multiple channels. You will educate your audiences. You will monitor and respond, and you will build and maintain trust. If you carefully study the bad actors and use these tips, you will contribute significantly to the integrity of public discourse. I don't know about you, but being able to do more for society is exciting and something that makes me passionate. I hope it is for you as well. Before I go, I would love it if you would leave a review, especially if you like what you've heard. And if you'd like to learn more about your responsibility to combat weaponized information and you're not already a part of the SpinSucks community, get your butt over there. You can find us at spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. That's spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. It's a community full of crazy smart professionals. It's free, it's fun, it's smart, and you might just learn a thing or two from your peers. I'll see you next week.
If you're ready to change the face of PR, make sure you subscribe to the Spin Sucks podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review.